Hey everyone, the Caleb G here from the RPG Academy, and you are about to witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational Redemption Podcast. Proud member of the RPG Academy Network.
This is Redemption, an actual play podcast set in the Star Wars role-playing game system with Chris Berlew as the GM and also the droid R3A1.
You're not going to wink at me now, are you?
Kendall Jung as the Twi'lek former Padawan, Karel.
A1's like a youngling. He seems to be very insecure and takes things a little literally.
And Michael Waldschlager II as the Duros pilot, Tazi.
That captain is me, Tazi. Ensign Tazi is the captain of the Kralitz Fang.
With special guest Emily Morgan as Isla. Episode 319, The Hunter's Mune. The pasts of our crew are as much of a mystery to Isla as her own, but she and the crew have spent time in hyperspace learning about each other and her foggy past. Now, on the Hunter's Moon, will they find the answers they seek, or simply more questions?
Isla goes right for the holo projector.
Okay.
Wait, don't touch that.
And too late, I flip over dark side point. Isla touches it just as you say that, and the holo emitter turns on, and you see a
oh no
human appear. He's kind of thin, has no hair that you can see, no eyebrows even. His smiles, and you can see his teeth have been sharpened to points. And he says,
"Ah, Miss Zarla, returning to the last place you saw our master? Too bad you were not strong enough to stop the bombardment. But our master was wise enough to avoid the attack. I will tell you, you did not need to run. He was not angry with your failure here. He always wished you would have come home. It's never too late. At home, I have the resources to return you to your proper self and the job you loved so much. I'm going there now. See you soon."
And then it turns off.
Wait, master? What's going on with this master stuff?
Isla, you do recognize him. You can't place his name, but he definitely looks familiar.
Okay, I know him, but I don't know from where.
Well, he mentioned home. Do you know what he means when he says home?
No, I remember calling immune master in one of those really foggy memories, but I don't know. I don't know.
Tazi moves to Isla's side to comfort her as she appears to be very upset.
Pearl's going to check the holoprojector and see if she can access the holoprojector system, see if there's like a date stamp or if there's any other files on this recording, and at the very least, get a copy of this holo recording.
All right, so you could take the holo emitter with you. It's probably the size of your hand. It's a portable one.
Oh, okay.
And just make a computers check, just difficulty one.
One success, two advantages.
Dated 2 days ago, and you can guess with the advantages and whatnot, roughly about the time that whoever was here left. They must have left this behind.
Well, and Karel pockets the holo projector at that point, but puts it in her satchel. So this was from a couple days ago, and from the looks of it and the tracks outside where everything was drug, they left here a couple days ago. So whoever sent the message here, that guy knew you? So whoever it is isn't here anymore, but we have a trail. Maybe we should try and, I don't know, we could go back to the ship and you guys could, you know, we could try and track it from the air.
Isla will stand up and go towards the main computer and see if she can turn it on. She is visibly shaking and upset.
You walk over to the main computer. It's damaged. It's a little beat up, obviously. Go ahead and make a mechanics check, or computers, whichever is higher for you. Just make it a difficulty 2.
All right, they're the same. Oh my god, one advantage.
Okay. You do manage to get the computer to start up for just a brief minute or two, and on the screen you see a younger version of yourself standing next to a tall Mune. And it looks as though you're analyzing the strengths and weaknesses of a couple of predators that are going to be used in the arena. And then it cuts back out.
Corell, can you give her a hand with that?
Yeah, I'll see if I can pull anything off of it. I'll give it another try. What will be the difficulty?
Same thing.
Just a threat. Corell kind of taps on the computer interface, and the whole thing just kind of flickers, and all the lights fade, and it's gone.
No! And Isla will pound the console with her fist.
It's out of power. All that was left is just drained out, probably playing out that video.
That was him, that tall mune. That was him. That was the guy I called Master. Do you recognize him?
That guy looks, he looks familiar. Where have I seen him before?
Well, he's not the one from Thyfera.
That one was even
taller than you.
No, not from Thyfera.
Did you run into him on Coruscant?
No, I remember him from when I was a kid.
He was on Dural?
He must have been at some point. I think my dad had a couple meetings with him. Trying to think of if he was... What was his name? Damask.
Wait, Hugo Damask?
I think his name was Damask. Yeah, Hugo. Yeah, that sounds right.
That's what Kao was talking about. He owned the Hunter's Moon. He's the mune that owns the moon, the mune moon?
Well, if it's the same guy, it looks like the same guy.
And Krell kind of just slowly turns and looks at Isla. So you know the mune that owns this moon, this Hugo guy, and you called him Master?
I don't remember him now. I mean, I remembered when we were getting off the spaceship. I remember I was bringing animals, and I called him Master. The arena had gladiators fighting these giant animals, and I don't know what this laboratory's for. I don't know if they genetically engineered some of the animals or ran experiments or if it was on the gladiators or obviously me. I mean, if I worked for him, why would he do this?
We don't know any of that yet. We just have a lead to possibly some part of your past, right? We don't know that Hugo did whatever happened to your mind.
Or worse,
at least not for sure.
Do you recognize the human, though? I mean, he's the one that was here.
Yes, but I don't know from where. Obviously, he's a former coworker, if we're to believe what he says. You know?
And he referred to Hugo Damask as our master.
Tazi gets on his comm back to A1 on the ship. A1.
Yeah?
Pull what you can off the holonet on Hugo Damask. Known associates, that type of stuff. We need to find out a little bit more about him, where he may be, and who he runs with.
Okay.
Home? That must be Moon. Where else could it be?
Well, there's no guarantee that you lived on Moon, or Moon, or... You know what I mean.
Munalist is their planet.
Munalist, yeah. There's no guarantee that you lived there. I mean, if he's wealthy, if he owned this moon, maybe he has another moon or another compound somewhere else that's called home.
What kind of enemies did he have to wreak havoc and start a nuclear explosion?
Obviously, someone did not like him.
I have a very, very bad feeling about this.
Well, if we need to, we will go there and see if we can find him. But we have a trail we can follow first. I'll tell you what, you guys finish checking in here. I'm going to go see where that leads. I'll meet you back at the speeder. Corell starts jogging off down the tunnel.
Okay.
I'm going to take a good look around the lab to see if there are any remnants of animal experiments, if there are large cages or signs of combat training.
Okay. You find remnants of cages. And you find some instruments along the sides, you know, on the ground that look like they would be used for different experiments. And Tazi, roll me a perception check. Difficulty is just a 1.
All right. A triumph, 2 successes, and 1 advantage.
You notice as you're watching Isla move around the lab, she's looking for stuff, but it's almost like she knows where things are and goes from like a cage over to a tool and then back to the cage. And it's almost like she's familiar with where things are, where you're kind of looking around and kind of stumbling in the darkness. She moves around a whole lot smoother than you are.
Hey, Isla, is it possible that you worked in this lab?
Maybe, but I'm a mechanic, aren't I? I mean, it feels familiar.
Well, I mean, you may have taken on the role of a mechanic, but perhaps some of your other skills were in use here. I mean, if they were doing experiments, they would have needed someone to upkeep the mechanical side of things, right? The cages, the equipment that they're using to do the experiments. They would have needed at least one or two engineers down here.
I guess I just don't know.
Hey, no, come here. It's fine. And Tazi goes up and puts his arms around her and is kind of just running his hand on her back and letting her kind of be upset and just kind of letting her be. And we cut to Corell.
All right. So the camera cuts back to Corell, and she's just finished jogging out of the tunnel. And she's out by their speeder and is looking around at the ground and sees that stuff has been dragged out of the way to make room for a path leading up to the rim. And she starts heading up that way.
Okay. Since you had a triumph earlier, it's easy for you to follow right where the path goes to. You followed up to another little plateau on top of one of the craters, and you can see that it stops, and you can clearly see the telltale signs of a ship taking off from here.
Kark, that's not good. All right. Well,
and she turns around, kind of looks around from the edge of the crater at the rest, kind of the blasted wasteland, and slowly begins walking back down towards the speeder.
All right. And then we cut back to Tazi and Isla.
Tazi would like to, while he's kind of, you know, holding on to Isla, he's also going to take a look around briefly to see if there's anything that they could take with them from here. There's any paperwork, any data pads that, you know, could just be recharged, you know, anything like that might provide more useful data that we could take with us.
We could flip over a light side point. You could spend some time digging through the rubble and you could find a data pad.
Hey, Tazi kind of takes his fingers and puts them under her chin. Hey, let's take one more quick look around and we'll get out of here. We've got enough we can go on from now, but let's see if there's anything we can take with us. There might be something here that could give us a little bit more to go on.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah. I guess the more information we have, the better.
Exactly.
You spend some time, you know, digging through, moving some rubble around, and you find a data pad hidden under what looks to be an old medical table.
I think we've turned up everything we can find down here.
Yeah.
Do you want to stay? Do you want to stay? Do you want to stick around and look around a little bit more?
No, I'm okay. I just, Tazi, what if I don't want to remember?
Well, then that's up to you. If you don't want to remember, you don't have to. We can leave all this behind right now and just leave. We don't have to do any of this. That's up. It's up to you. I mean, I certainly think you're a fine young woman, regardless of what happened in your past. So if you want to know for yourself, if you don't want to know for yourself, that's your decision. But whatever decision you make, we'll help you out either way. We'll be here. I'll be here.
Well, honestly, we don't even know if I am young. I mean,
you seem young enough to me. And Tazi grins.
Okay. I mean, I guess this is all we have to go on right now, so.
We can call this off at any time. If you want to keep digging and you want to keep pushing, we can do that. If you decide that this is something you don't want to do, say the word and we'll drop it like a hot rock. But either way, you know, we're here for you.
Tazi. I know even if I do remember, you're still going to be the sweetest person I've ever met.
Stop it now. You're going to make me blush.
I'm sorry. I mean, you're the worst person I've ever met.
There you go. That's better. That's easier. That's easier on the cheeks. You know, I don't have to smile as much. You know, that's much easier to deal with.
All right. Let's go on back. Let's see if Corell found anything.
All right. After you.
You guys exit out of the laboratory, and you find Corell, you said, waiting at the entrance?
No, she's sitting on the hood of the speeder. She doesn't even turn when you guys approach. Did you guys find anything else down there, or?
Isla and Tazi are holding hands. We found a data pad that we might be able to get some more information off.
Okay, we could have A1 to take a look at that when we get back to the ship. I followed the track up to the edge of the cliff, but Isla, I'm sorry, there was a ship there and it's gone. So, this is...
Wait, there was a ship there when you got there?
No. There's a blast pattern showing a ship left, you know, probably about 2 days ago.
Why? Why would someone who served the same master as me not wait for me?
Competition, maybe?
Or he's... maybe it's a test. Didn't he say something about you going home?
He said that if I went home, he could restore me.
Is that Neos 3 or Duro or...
We don't know.
Yeah.
Were there any coordinates on the holocom?
Not that I saw, but I only gave it a cursory glance.
It's maybe check for some encryption. Maybe they encrypted some coordinates.
It's a stationary unit. We should give it to A1. He's better at the computers than I am.
You should tell him that yourself. You should really tell him that he's better than you.
I have. I've told him numerous times. Remember the data pad that we got from the doctor? Well, they handed it to him and said, hey, you're a good slicer. You're better than me. You should do this.
He could use the ego boost right now. Zeke has kind of got him under the... he's not thinking so highly of himself anymore.
Well, that's just silly. We'll take care of that when we get back.
But, I mean, they're both droids, but they have two completely different functions.
Yes, but A1's like a youngling. He seems to be very insecure and takes things a little literally, which I guess is very droid-like when you think about it that way, but I don't know.
I'm just saying it wouldn't hurt to mention it again, that's all.
Okay, it's noted.
All right, well, we definitely have to get this thing charged if we're going to get any information off of it.
We'll head back to the ship. Yep, everybody load in.
Girl hops in the back of the speeder.
Okay, you guys make it back to the ship. A1 meets you guys at the landing dock. So I think I figured a few things out.
Okay. Well, I've got something for you to figure out, work on, too. So let's hear what you got first.
Okay. All the information on this moon seems to be very well hidden, but most of it is 15 years old. So all the knowledge we had before made it seem like it was something different. I'm not sure why somebody would want to hide what's on this rock, but it did. I also learned a little bit about that Hugo Damask that you asked about.
We saw him too. Well, an image of him.
Yeah. Well, there's two Hugo Damasks.
Okay.
One was named for his grandfather, and one was obviously the grandfather. Which one do you want to know about? I have pictures.
The latest one.
Oh. Hugo Damask the second.
How long do Mune live?
Oh, yeah, are they both alive?
No. They both are dead. The grandson...
Wait, what? They're both dead?
Yes. The grandson was a member of the Intergalactic Banking Clan, and he was killed on Coruscant 10 or 11 years ago. He was killed 10 years ago.
On Coruscant?
Yeah. He was killed in his sleep.
Well, that doesn't sound suspicious at all.
If you say so. I would think it was suspicious.
Yes.
I think she was being sarcastic, A1.
Oh, yes.
Sorry. But
no, I'm sorry. I'm feeling a little muddled right now. And if he was killed over a decade ago, how could he be waiting for me?
Maybe he had a son nobody knew about? Maybe there's a third Hugo Damask?
Maybe he wasn't really killed. I mean, so wouldn't be the first time we've had experiences with people that were supposed to be dead but weren't.
That does seem to happen to us quite a bit lately. We could go to Coruscant and try and verify it.
Well, that's a pretty dead case, though, isn't it?
Well, I mean, have you ever been to Coruscant?
I have no idea.
Well, I was kind of hoping that maybe you got a flash of something or something, but I don't know.
A1, what's the last reported residence of Hugo Damask II?
Oh, the Damask province. His main home was on an island called Abora.
An island? On what planet?
Munalist. It's in their western sea.
Island?
Well, the guy in the recording said island, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. And she pulls the holoprojector out and sets it down again and tries to turn it on again.
It turns back on.
Does it play again?
Yep. And sure enough, the last line he did say, see you on the island.
Well?
That seems pretty clear.
Yeah.
So we're going to Munalist.
How far is that?
Munalist is in the Outer Rim. It shouldn't be too far.
We may need to stop for refueling.
Yeah. A1, and she points at the holoprojector, you're better at the computer stuff, so would you please see if you can find anything else that might be on here? Any, you know, deleted but not completely erased data, that kind of thing? I'll go look at the astrogation computer and see if I can find us a nearest port to refuel at.
Okay.
Tazi looks at Corell and tries to give her his best wink. It's awkward.
Corell looks at him and just kind of looks puzzled for a second and then blinks both eyes back at him in a complete echo of what he just did and then turns and walks back up to the cockpit.
Oh, A1, we have this data pad too that Isla found in that lab that we were in. It looks like it might need charged, but it may also need some maintenance before it can work. When you finish with the coordinates, can you take a look at this data pad?
Sure. You're not going to wink at me now, are you? Because that was awkward.
Look, you know I'm not good at winking. I never really picked up the skill. I can only blink real hard, and even blinking looks weird.
All right. Anything else?
No. Did you need anything?
No. Surprisingly, Zeke behaved while you were gone.
Really?
Yeah.
That almost makes me more nervous.
Yeah, he was just looking at updates on the war and what battles were going on and who was winning.
Who is winning?
Neither side, really. They seem to kind of win a battle here, lose a battle there. I don't really see anybody's winning. A1 turns around to roll away with the data pads, and that's when the monkey lizard you see him climbing up the wall, and he's heading right towards Isla. And he gets close, and he sees Isla, and he kind of holds his hands out.
Oh, hey there, Lizzie. Isla picks him up.
Well, so you found a friend.
Yes, I seem to be good with animals.
Maybe that's what you did in the lab. Maybe you were like the animal handler.
I would hope I wouldn't be a person who would handle animals in a lab that did experiments on them, but I don't know, maybe I was that person.
Well, the operative word there is was. That's not who you are now, right?
Right.
So there you go.
At some point, I would like to browse the holonet and see if I can do a search, you know, humans with pointed teeth, see what comes up.
Okay. Make a hard computers check. I'm assuming you're going to use the image of the guy from the hollow emitter and try and see if you can locate who he is.
Yes. A single success and a single advantage.
After a little while, you find a wanted poster on Kashyyyk for a Titus Melionis. And it looks very, very similar to the person you saw.
Titus Melionis.
As you're looking at the wanted poster, you get a feeling that you were close with him at one time, and that closeness starts to make you feel uneasy, like perhaps you guys were a little more physical than you would have liked.
Pointed teeth. I hope he didn't have pointed teeth at the time. That just doesn't sound good. Isla will come up to the cockpit before we take off and say, okay, I think I found pointy teeth human guy's name. I think he's Titus Melionis. Does that ring a bell for you?
Actually, yeah, that name does sound a little familiar. I think my dad might have done some cargo work for them, too. My dad did a lot of shady stuff when I was younger.
Tazi?
Yeah, yeah.
Tazi, do you think your dad might know who I am? If he worked with Hugo Damask and he worked with this Melionis guy and I worked with both of them.
I mean, it's not outside the realm of possibility. I mean, my dad might not remember you. I'll to be perfectly honest. I mean, his mind is still in a kind of a state of flux.
I'm so sorry. I just completely blanked on that.
No, it's okay. It's not outside the realm of possibility. He may have met you. If he did, the only time I ever heard the name of that Titus guy was when he and my mom were arguing about a job that my dad was doing. So I was told, stay out of it, son. It's none of your business. And I did. So my mom might know more.
I guess I could call your mom.
Maybe I should call my mom first. Fair. It might be better for me to introduce you than for you to call her out of the blue.
Okay.
At this point, Corell comes back down the corridor and sees you guys kind of standing there. So Munalist is, you know, a couple days away. There's really only a couple systems between here and there where we could possibly refuel. The shipyards at Yaga Minor could probably refuel us.
No.
Unless you want to deal with the hut. Let's
stay out of the hut's space if we can.
Okay, we can hit the shipyards.
Tritza Laxa Mina. What?
What was that?
What?
What?
That was Huttiz.
What did you say? What did you say?
I don't know. I just recognize it as Huttiz.
I don't know. I think that's what they call her.
I okay. This is one of those things that I'm just going to write off as skills Isla doesn't know she has. So, good job on knowing Huttiz.
I said something in Huttiz to Kale earlier, too, about the Black Sun. I guess I've worked with some real shady people.
That, you know, I think we all have, really, right? We've all worked with some shady people.
Not me. Never.
Yes,
never.
You have.
Well, I mean, Kao's cleaned up his act.
I don't know. Is the Corralet's Fang considered shady?
It was, for a time.
Are you throwing shade around?
It depends on where you are, too, so.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, if you're in Separatist space, we are not looked upon kindly.
What did you do to the Separatists?
Let's not get into it. Let's not get into it. We don't have to get into that right now. Let's just say that we tried to do some mercenary work for them or some side work for them, and it did not turn out pleasant. And we are not.
There may or may not have been an assassination attempt.
That's true.
Oh, and we killed Rafe, one of their leaders.
Oh, I don't know who that is, so I have no reaction to that.
It wasn't a great time. So where are we going? Are we going to try and just make the jump to Munalist? We'll be kind of on vapors, or we can stop and...
No, we should definitely stop to refuel. I want to make sure that if we have to leave Munalist in a hurry, we're not going to be worrying about fuel.
That's good. That's a good point, yeah.
Okay, well, do you want me to plot out the course?
Yeah, go ahead.
I could try.
Or all yours. I could try, too. Yep.
So we troop on up to the cockpit and...
Okay.
Krell just gestures towards the astrogation computer and steps back so Isla can get in there.
Why not? I apparently can't dance or can't sing, so the only thing about me is the way that I fly.
And hit things. Don't forget about hitting things.
True.
I don't think Kao's bruises have faded yet.
Well, if they do, I can always give him new ones.
Can I get a ticket to that? I'd like to watch that happen.
Krell loves a gun show.
What?
You plot the course just fine. No issues. You find the quickest, most efficient way there.
Well, looks like I can astrogate. I'll add that to the list of things I can do without realizing I'm doing them.
Krell, who's leaning against the wall next to Tazi, murmurs very quietly,
"You can do it better than me and you combined."
You know, Tazi can't really whisper. Maybe it was just a fluke.
No, those...
What's a fluke?
These fins that come on the Mon Calamari ships, they're called flukes. They help steer.
You don't have to. Nope, we're not.
Anyway, now that you've got the course plotted, I'm gonna go get cleaned up because it was kind of dusty out there. You two, let me know when we're going into hyperspace. Ta.
And she walks. No, and I was just saying that maybe. I mean, that was amazing. You actually input the coordinates without really looking at the monitor or at the keys. And not a lot of people can do that. So maybe this is another one of those hidden skills you have. Maybe it was a fluke. We don't know yet. But you were really good at it.
Thank you.
Camera cuts to you guys taking off of Sojourn and hitting hyperspace. Anything spectacular you guys want to do on the trip there?
Not really. I picture we have another hyperdrive-based montage where, you know, the next day she's checking on the engines.
A little montage of A1 in the back as he continues his training.
Montage of Zeke peeking around corners suspiciously.
Yes.
In the other unused cargo pod, like, Krell and Isla are, like, reclining in these really comfy-looking chairs. Their feet are soaking and Zeke's giving them both manicures.
And we have pieces of blue cumber on our eyes because that helps reduce puffiness.
Oh, totally, totally.
Tazi's probably sleeping in the cockpit as per Tazi's, you know, way when we're traveling.
There's
from
place two or
to
three
place.
Scenes where it cuts into Tazi sleeping in the cockpit.
Kao's probably in the gunnery pod, you know, just turning the controls, pretending to shoot something. Reading holos about, you know, new weaponry, and he's definitely unfolding a holo, and, you know, holding it, like, you know, vertically and then unfolding it or opening up multiple
holo pages. And his eyes dilate.
Yeah, his eyes get big. The tentacles wave a little bit. We have another cut.
And then probably cuts back to Tazi is sleeping and then getting startled awake as the ship drops out of hyperspace.
The beeping of the new consoles. He's not used to it yet, so it wakes him right up.
And you drop out of hyperspace over Munilus.
Tazi's like, okay, well, I should probably hit the button. Tazi hits the button on the new comm console to the ship. Hey, everybody, we're here. We'll be making arrangements to land shortly. Where are we? We're landing on... are we landing on the island? Do we have to land at a port? Is anybody familiar?
Corell appears in like a split screen, but her voice comes over the comms.
Okay, I'll be ready in a few minutes. It'll take me just a couple minutes. Sorry, I didn't mean to yawn in your ear.
No, that's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
I would suggest landing snot on the island.
Snot?
Not, yes.
Not landing near the island.
Yes. I have this gut feeling... not to land on the island.
You have a bad feeling about this, right?
No, not a bad feeling. Just a feeling.
But if you don't
actually,
want us to land there...
how do I know if it's good or bad? I don't know.
But if you don't want us to land there, then that's a bad feeling, right? Yeah, you think something bad's going to happen.
Well, it's just... Well, they might be expecting me.
Crow comes back into the little picture-in-picture. She's brushing her teeth. She's got a mouthful of toothpaste.
Okay, can we talk about our sex cockpit?
Again, Carl?
I said, why don't we meet in the cockpit and talk about this?
Oh, that is not what I heard the first time. Okay.
I'll be up there in a minute.
And she picture in picture just...
Tazi disconnects the comm. A
few minutes later, everybody's in the cockpit, including A1 and Zeke.
Okay, guys, it's a little crowded in here. Can we get some space, perhaps? Maybe we can... You know, not everybody needs to be here.
If you're driving, we have to be here.
No, I get that, but we're actually like kind of sitting in space right now. We're not like approaching the planet. We're waiting to approach the planet because we don't know where we're going to land.
Right, that's why we're looking at this map.
You're right. I'm just saying I don't think everybody needs to be here to make this decision.
Well, okay. Everybody is here. Kao's still...
I get it. Zeke, leave.
Aww.
Zeke turns and slowly rolls away. Is that what you wanted?
Yeah, that works.
All right, we can land right there.
Right where?
We can land on the island. They list it as an old dormant smoker.
But Isla was mentioning that she didn't think we should land on the island. She said that on the comm.
I mean, we could...
Wait, weren't you listening? I thought you were always listening.
Well, she said she didn't know if we should or not. She had a feeling, but she didn't know if it was a good feeling or a bad feeling.
Well, I would say it's probably she probably had a good feeling about landing somewhere else and a bad feeling about landing there.
Well, I mean, we can't really say what her feelings were.
I'm not trying to push my feelings on her. I'm trying to explain how feelings work. Usually good feelings draw you to something and bad feelings give you an aversion.
I really don't need you to tweel explain this to me, okay?
I feel like that's more of a Jedi-splain, though. It's about emotions.
Well, it'd be more of a Padawan-splain, honestly, because she never really made it to Jedi rank. Ouch.
That's true. I'm sorry, Corell.
Corell's staring at Tazi.
I mean, if we land off the island, then we'll have to take a speeder across part of the sea to get there.
True, and we'd have to refit our speeders. They're not really meant for that.
Yeah.
Those are called boats.
They're called boats.
We could hail them.
I don't need you to tweel explain a boat to me, okay?
Well, apparently I do, because you don't know what they are.
I know what a boat is.
Well, why do you want to turn our speeder into a boat?
A1 suggested it.
Well, A1 always suggests changing one thing into another. He wants to turn Zeke into a garbage compactor.
That's a great idea. We could use one.
Oh, my.
I agree.
That would be a useful function on the ship.
He does a lot of useful things.
Name one.
He has the place very clean.
Which takes your job away. Whose job is he going to take next?
I am not in charge of cleaning.
Then why do you keep doing it?
Because I don't want to live like an animal.
Speaking of animals, where's your monkey?
I think it's still in the pod with Kao. Oh.
No, Lizzie's in my room.
Oh,
Lizzie?
I'm glad you finally named him Tazi.
No, it's named Lizzie, not Tazi. That's Tazi.
No, wait. Did you name him Isla?
No, yes. She named it Lizzie. Okay, I think we're getting confused.
We're getting sidetracked.
This is A1, you're Tazi, the lizard is Lizzie, that's Isla, I'm Karel.
We're getting sidetracked.
Am I tweel explaining it too much for you?
Let's figure out the landing place first, and then we'll deal with the lizard, which we don't even have to deal with. Isla, if you enjoy spending time with Lizzie, Lizzie's all yours.
You're the one who got all weirded out because she gave it the name.
No, I just
didn't
know.
It's not like you two went out and
bought a pet together. I wasn't weirded. I didn't know it had a name. I was surprised.
Why are you doing this? Why don't we just land somewhere?
Why am I doing what?
Well, you're changing the subject. We need to figure out where to land.
Why don't we just ask?
Ask who?
Ask me.
A1, where should we land?
Right there.
All right, let's land.
Are we sure?
Yes.
Is everybody sure?
Well, yes. We agree.
No.
Okay, Isla, what do you have to say?
I don't know.
But you don't agree that we should land off the island?
I honestly don't know.
So are you abstaining from voting that we land on the island?
Yes.
Okay, so it's 2-4-1 abstaining and you have a vote.
Are you?
Of course, I don't know if we're a democracy or not because I'm not one of the captains.
There's only one captain.
No, according to A1, KO is a captain.
Wait, why does this ship have two captains?
It doesn't have two captains. It's very confusing. This ship does not have two captains.
You should ask A1 about that.
A1, we do not have two captains.
Okay, got it.
The second captain thing was a mistake when explaining the captainship to a child.
Yeah.
We haven't had a child on here since...
Yeah, I know. It's never been corrected, but I'm correcting it now. There is one captain. That captain is me, Tazi. Ensign Tazi is the captain of the Crowlet's Fang.
Correct.
All right.
Tazi's not your first name?
No.
It's his family name.
Yeah.
You haven't told her your first name?
Huh. That's more like a second date thing, I think.
Well, they're already on date six, aren't they?
No, officially only one date.
Yeah, true.
So we're landing off the island.
On the island.
On the island.
Oh, I didn't know my last name and I didn't know your first name. What a pair.
Oh, that one guy called you Mrs. Arla. That must be your last name. It's on the hollow thing.
Yeah, yes. That was on my personal chip too.
Yeah.
Zarla.
I think that since he invited her home, that he's not going to do anything. He wants her there. So it'd be safe to land there.
Fine, we'll land on the island.
Okay. Unless, so it is three for the island, one abstention, and one
abstention. Unless Isla has any objections to us landing on the island. This is her deal. We will land on the island.
All right. A1, you said that the island's marked as uninhabited?
It's owned by the Damask family, and it's a dormant smoker. And
like a volcano?
Yeah, yeah.
So these guys not only own that Mune Moon, they own this island on Mune List.
Yes, and from everything I can tell, it's got a large number of interconnected tunnels underground, which would make sense because that's what volcanoes would do is they shot lava up. But on the surface, there's nothing there.
So there must be some secret hidden base there.
Yeah.
Well, I guess let's touch down and knock.
All right. Everybody strap in.
A1 just activates his feet. Click.
Isla sits in the passenger seat.
Curl just leans against the door.
Tazi punches it to speed 3.
Okay.
And does a quick barrel roll in approach to the planet.
So as Tazi punches it, Curl kind of braces herself in the doorway and doesn't quite manage to grab a hold in time for the barrel roll, which sends her kind of off camera, and you hear a couple thuds as she tumbles down the hallway.
You're such a carcoal!
Over his shoulder.
Are you okay?
Oh, yeah, it's just somebody had to forget how to pilot suddenly.
Oh, I remember. That was a very complex maneuver. I would suggest...
Yeah, landing. It's so hard for you.
I would suggest strapping in when you get the chance.
I've never needed to strap in before when you pilot normally. If you're going to show off for your girlfriend, however, yes, I'll go strap in somewhere else.
And she just turns around and walks down the hall.
You hear in the back,
whee!
So the Crowlet's Fang makes its approach to the planet?
Yep. As you approach the island, you see very clearly it's a volcanic island. So it's that rocky, kind of black surface. You can find a spot to land where it's smooth. And as you get closer, you can see a few other ships have landed here before. You also notice on the beach, there is a speeder that's already there, or a boat that's already there. You also notice as you get closer, there is a... It's not quite what you'd call a mountain. It's more like a small hill that's there, and you can see a few tunnels that go down. So we see the ship land on the island, and the camera pans over to the landing ramp as it opens up. We see Kao and A1 standing at the top. Kao's got his tentacles pulled back in a braid. A1's facing down. He's not actually looking at Kao. Kao's got his gun slung on his back. He's got his armor on. And Kao just looks over at A1 and kind of nods, and then takes off as fast as he can, running out of the ship, down the beach, and he jumps onto a speeder that's waiting for him. The speeder just turns and takes off and heads into the sunset. And then as the speeder heads out, we see the crew walk up and stand next to A1.
A1 looks at him and just simply says,
"He left to go after Ayla Sakura. She sent him this."
Ayla Sakura is seated as the holocall starts, her posture stiff and her expression tense.
"Hello, Kao. As I am sure you have heard, a war has started between the Republic and the Separatists. You probably saw in the Hollow that this whole thing started on Geonosis and it was bad. They had captured Senator Amidala along with Obi-Wan Kenobi and his Padawan Anakin Skywalker, and they were to be executed. We fought in the arena to save them with Master Windu and Master Yoda, as well as a dozen other Jedi, and..."
Ayla looks away.
"And not many of us survived."
Ayla presses her lips together, rolling her shoulders to force herself to appear more relaxed.
"But that was just the start. It's now gotten so heated that the Chancellor has called up an army of clone soldiers to fight for the Republic, and tasked the Jedi with leading the armies. This means that they have given me a group of clones to command as their general. And while Commander Bly is a good second, I really could use you here."
Ayla Sakura leans forward, speaking earnestly.
"I heard that you were going to be on Mutalist, and I have sent a fast courier to meet you at the starport. If you'll come, will you help me, Kao? I would like you by my side again before we leave for Quell."
Ayla looks like she may have more to say, but she ends the recording here.
"Well, I guess at least this time we know where he's going. I mean, and he has a good reason this time."
"Zeke, you stay on the ship."
"Okay.
Come on, let's go."
Karel kind of looks at Isla and gives her kind of a worried look and then follows Tazi.
A1 just rolls up right next to Tazi and just doesn't say anything, just rolls next to him. So, which way do we go?
"Pick a tunnel, any tunnel."
"Isla, does any of this feel familiar?"
"Funny enough, it does."
"Maybe you should lead. Are you feeling good feelings about it now or bad?"
I'm not sure what I'm feeling.
"I mean, you didn't know Kao as long as we did, but I mean, he, there's a reason he had to go. It makes a lot of sense."
"I think she's talking about the island."
"Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. Just, we need to focus."
"Just take a couple of deep breaths, Isla."
And you're walking towards a tunnel.
"You'd think it'd be the middle one, but it's not. It's this one."
We'll follow you. You know this island better than we do."
I would actually go with the left one, but you like the right one, so, you know, I always tend to go left when I have to make a decision."
"Well, you can get there from the left, but it's a much longer walk."
"Again, we're following you."
"Yes, all right. So we need to go into this tunnel, and then it's going to branch off several times. I guess, hopefully I'll know where we're going when we get there."
"We hope so, too."
So Isla will lead them sort of down to the right, to the right, to the left, until eventually they see a door.
"Yes."
Tazi bends down quickly to A1. "Hey, if you could, buddy, just map this out."
"Okay.
Thanks. In case we need to make a quick exit."
"Got it."
Isla hesitates and reaches out and knocks on the door.
Isla, as you reach out to knock on the door, you see a little panel next to the door, and your hand just absentmindedly goes over and punches in a code, and you see the door open.
Carl leans down next to A1. "Did you get that code?"
As you lean down, I'm going to flip over Darkseid. Karel and Tazi, as the door opens, you guys are standing next to each other, and right in between you, the floor opens up for a second, and you both feel this force field kind of grab a hold of you and kind of suspend you both in the air.
Wait, what?
Isla turns around.
You see Karel and Tazi floating.
What? Is this a Jedi thing?
"No, the blue thingy is force field. Can you turn it off?"
Maybe?
"Can we move against it at all?"
"No. Picture what Obi-Wan Kenobi was caught in Attack of the Clones."
"Okay.
So it's that you're suspended, you can't move your hands really, you can't move your legs. And Karel, you actually don't feel that connection to the Force."
"Let's get us out of here. A1, can you do something?"
A1 looks at it. "I believe the controls must be somewhere else."
"Oh, that's great."
"Can you break the projector? Can you break the, what's throwing the field?"
"I could try."
Anything, buddy.
A1 starts. He fires his blaster at it. It's projecting a force field. I can't get past the force field to get to the projector. And Isla, you hear movement in the other room. You hear somebody walking around.
Well, maybe they were expecting us after all. Is the door opened?
Yes.
Okay. Isla will walk through.
Maybe be careful.
As Isla walks through, A1 stops what he's doing, and he looks at Tazi.
Follow her.
Yeah, A1, go with her.
Go with her.
He takes off into the room and almost bumps into Isla as he goes past her to get in front.
Oh.
And he's got his blaster out, and he's got his little fusion cutter out. And as you guys walk in the room, you see a large laboratory. And there are all sorts of giant aquariums that have been converted into vats that hold different species in them. You see a bith in one spot. You see a rhodian in another. You see some small lizard-like creatures that are actually by the door where you came in. And you see on the other end a human who turns around. He's completely hairless. He's got sharpened teeth. And you notice that his nails have been filed to points. And he just turns and smiles.
Hello, Titus.
Hello. I see you have not forgotten our little trap. What have you brought us? You do remember. And he points towards a vat, and you see a large yin curry sitting in the vat. Our master was proud when you brought, what was his name? Oh yes, Usul, when you brought him here.
Titus, those two are not for experiments. Let them go.
Camera kind of cuts back to Tazi and Corel. He's talking about us, she's talking about us, right?
Shut up and listen.
You get a glare.
And then camera cuts back over to Isla and Titus and A1. And A1 kind of moves towards Titus, and he looks at him and says, You're not going to hurt her. Titus just kind of smiles. Why would I hurt her? We worked together for so long. Are you back to work for us again? Our master would have been proud.
I think it's time for some answers, Titus.
Very well, Miss Zarla. What would you like to know?
Hugo's dead, yes?
Yes. Our master.
I worked for him?
Yes. Our master's dead. But my new master wants to continue his experiments. Our old master was weak, and now we have a new one.
Who's your new master?
You know how that works. When you prove yourself to him, he will reveal himself to you. But let's just say he's far more powerful than our old.
What if I don't want to prove myself?
The choice has always been yours. I am surprised that you chose this cover story to fall back into.
What are you talking about?
The camera does a picture-in-picture with Tazi and Krell, and she mouths, cover story, is she faking?
How should I know?
What else am I going to ask?
We're stuck. Just bear with it for now.
What do you think I'm doing?
Talking too much.
I don't know what you're talking about, Titus. I don't know how to be any other way, so I'm just going to be very, straightforward and honest right now. I literally remember your name, and that's it. I don't really remember this place. I don't remember Hugo. Everything is pieced together. There's no cover story. There's just me with my entire life gone except for the past 3 months.
Well, this personality was one of your cover stories. Some mechanic from some small backwoods planet. That way you could continue to, shall we say, misdirect your prey. And when he says misdirect, you get this almost a sinking feeling. And then you start realizing that you have a connection you've never realized before. And that connection kind of flows through you. And you realize you have abilities you haven't even tapped into yet.
Hey everyone, this is Kendall. First of all, I would like to thank Angela Kraft from the Fandible podcast stepping in and recording Ayla Sakura's Holocall. It was awesome of her to help us out at last minute, and we really appreciate the wonderful job she did. Thank you very much, Angela. Second of all, we wanted to thank everyone that met us at a Catacon. The convention was wonderful. We couldn't have had a better time, and we're looking forward to seeing you guys next year. Now, as you noticed, KO has once again left the crew, and if you did not listen to the Q&A session from a Catacon, this is what you missed.
So right off the bat, we're just going to let you guys know, and you guys are the first ones to hear this, there is going to be a change in the show. With Nate having a baby and being really involved in...
His wife had a baby.
Yeah.
Oh. I know you confused
that's how that works.
I'm sorry.
The Nautilin thing might have confused you, but you know.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. John, you did look really confused. But with Nate's wife having a baby and stuff, he just doesn't have time to dedicate to working with us. So he is stepping back. In place, though...
You all know Isla, and, we had a rather nice informative poll just recently where only one person out of the 27 who voted wanted her to die. But Emily will be joining us as Isla.
That was me.
That was you? Oh, my God, I'm telling her.
Don't. Let her just listen. She'll hear this eventually.
Well, but it depends. If I need something from you later, yeah. I will be using it. But Emma, starting with...
Stop it! No live tweeting the pen!
Starting with season 4, Emily will be a full cast member. And season 4 will be starting probably by the end of the year. I think we're very close.
Redemption is played using the Star Wars role-playing game system by Fantasy Flight Games and LucasBooks. If you enjoy Redemption, please reach out to us on social media. Our Facebook and Twitter pages can be found at RedemptionPod, and we have our website as well, RedemptionPodcast.com. Please look for us on Instagram as well. We've recently started an account with Redemption Podcast. Review the show for us on iTunes, Stitcher, or other podcasting applications you may use. This does help people locate the podcast, and it does spread the word for us so more people can hear our thrilling story. If you're enjoying the story that Redemption tells and would like to offer us some support, we do have a Patreon page at patreon.com/redemption. All funds collected from the page are used to help us upgrade our equipment and make sure we're telling the best story we can with the best quality equipment that we can. Thank you very much.